if you didn't laugh, you'd cry. Like, it's moments when we're under pressure and we really feel the strain that you actually need the relaxation, the release of just being able to laugh. Even you've maybe caught yourself in those pure moments of uncontrolled giddiness or hysterical bursts, but you sometimes just need that release to be able to laugh. In the midst of the daily news feed, which is flooded with coronavirus at the moment, I noticed that RTE have deliberately taken to highlighting 5 good news stories each day. And they're often about people who in very small ways are defiantly trying to find joy at the moment in the midst of sadness. How they're trying to brighten the darkness. Maybe you think, though, that this is no time to be laughing. This is a day of lamenting rather than a day of rejoicing. It can be hard at the moment, can't it, to know what mood is right? Or even, is there a right mood? Do we just feel how we feel? Over the next week, I want us to find our feet in well-established rhythms of Easter. To allow the Christian traditions and timings that come with this season to set the mood music for us in these days. And we're going to be reflecting on what you could call the Psalms of Easter, or Psalms that have Easter connections. This is a day of crying, there's no doubt about that. But it's also, in Psalm 118, verse 24, the day that the Lord has made. So we can rejoice and we can be glad in it. Can you hear them? And there's a bunch of people, they are coming down the road and they are singing loudly. They're praising God at the top of their lungs. Can you see them? They have smiles on their faces, they're waving branches in their hands, they're throwing cloaks in the road, and they're all gathered around this figure who's on like a young colt, a donkey, really. And they're praising and they're just animated, but there are others who are frowning, who are disapproving and scolding. But it doesn't stop their singing. They're giving it large. Luke chapter 19, verse 37. When Jesus came near the place, the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they'd seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Look, there's no missing this mood music, is there? It's joyous, it's raucous, it's loud and proud. They're joyfully praising God in loud voices. They're singing, but others are silencing. Verse 39, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." They were wanting to silence them. This is too much, Jesus. They're claiming that you're king. Blessed is the King who comes. That you're the fulfillment of that psalm. That's too much, Jesus. That's not right. That's inappropriate. Verse 40, Jesus says, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Jesus says, actually, there's nothing more appropriate in this moment than to be praising. They will not be drowned out. They will not be shouted down by disapproval. They will sing. This praise, in one way, is defiant. They're facing opposition, but their singing will not be silenced. Today, we still face those who would put Jesus... we'd face those who silence people. There are people who put Jesus forward in public and into the public sphere, and yet there are others who try to push him back the other direction. Jesus is just a private, personal faith for you. He doesn't belong here. But there are many more who don't actively silence others, but they maybe remain silent on Jesus themselves. They've missed the peace and joy he brings. And if this is you or someone you know, well, we need to heed the warning that to feel, to recognize and praise God's coming, well, it's more than unfortunate. In fact, it results in catastrophic dismantling and judgment that Jesus speaks of in Luke 19 would come to Jerusalem, when stone by stone they would be broken down. But God's people, the disciples, aren't silent, they sing. And they sing Psalm 118, a song of praise for God's salvation. And in that psalm, we read in verse 14, "The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation." They sing. John Stott has suggested that this is a distinctive of Christian worship. He says, if you come to a Buddhist temple, it never resounds with a cry of praise. Muslims, when they worship, they pray to submit themselves and yield to God. They request that God would do things for them, but rarely do you hear them sing of what God has done. But Christians can raise that sound of thanks because we are forgiven by what he has done, not by what we do. So we've got good reason to sing. He continues, "The community of the cross is a community of celebration, of ceaseless offering to God through Christ, sacrifice of praise and thanks. The Christian life is an unending festival. It's giving thanks to God." And we sing because God in Jesus has come to the rescue. And the mood of Palm Sunday matches the moment. It matches what's happening. It matches what they see. In Luke chapter 19, we read that Jesus, in verse 28, he goes up to Jerusalem. But actually, he's been doing that since chapter 9 and verse 51 in Luke. And the idea is that Jesus had to go to Jerusalem. This was a path that he was on that he knew he had to walk. And when you read about the arrangements we read earlier of how he would get the colt, it's not clear whether Jesus is using this ability to see ahead, to know how everything's going to be, or whether he actually put plans in place and spoken to people beforehand. But what is very clear is this: Jesus needs a colt to ride into Jerusalem. He needs to do it this way, and he chooses to do it this way. And the reason is because he needs to fulfill what we read in Zechariah 9, verse 9. "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey colt, the foal of a donkey." Jesus needed to do this to fulfill that. And the disciples, they see it. They see it. They see who he is. But they only see it as one of many fulfillments. In verse 38, they praise God for all the miracles they had seen. They see that he is the one, he is the king. And so they sing. And their singing has substance because they sing Psalm 118. In one way, they were just singing what they sang every year. When the pilgrims came to the Passover, this was the last of a collection of psalms they sang, Psalm 118. But this was different because Jesus was fulfilling this psalm. If we look back to the psalm, if you're following along, from verse 19 in the psalm through to verse 29, there is someone who is brought into the temple. And as they come to the temple, they're praising God for how he has saved them. And there is a lead singer who has experienced this for themselves, but is like a representative for everybody else. And in verse 27, we read that they're joining in the festal procession. This psalm was a one for an occasion, for a special time, for a festival. And so it came to be sung at Passover. But as they reach the temple, they've been proceeding, actually, through the city. And they reach the temple with songs of praise. There's been a procession here. Think about Jesus for a moment. He's been proceeding towards Jerusalem. And the very moment he comes to the temple city is the climax, and that praise is the same. That Jesus fulfills that procession that we see in this psalm. And they sing praise because Jesus saves. And Jesus fulfills the pattern of this psalm as well. We can see what it means for God to save in this psalm. In verses 15 and 16, we read that the Lord's right hand has done mighty things. We read that God's salvation is something that only he can do. He is powerful. And these words actually come from another time. They come from Exodus 15, when Moses sang them after God's people came out of Egypt, when God had brought them out with a powerful hand, with plagues and with parting the Red Sea, doing what only he could do. And they sang. But God's salvation is also safe. We read in verses 5 to 14. There's someone who in verse 5 is hard-pressed or in distress, and they find in verse 8 and 9 that it's better to take refuge in the Lord than trust in humans. And actually, it's really hard to place when this time is for this person or for God's people, because time and time again they knew God's salvation in this way, but they knew it as safety. But they also knew it as love in verses 1 to 4. A love that kept his promises, that endured forever. And they're called Israel there. They're called the house of Aaron. Those promises that existed from Jacob's time and before, from Abraham's time as well. So there's these patterns of salvation across different times, but they're loving, they're safe, they're powerful. But in this moment, Jesus fulfills that particularly. Do you know that moment in a movie when you're watching everything comes together? Like all the stories that are before just come together in this moment and it all clicks. Or even when you're watching the number of movies, when you've seen the movies in the past, you really get this moment much more richly. Like you could understand it if you just saw the current movie, but if you got all the ones before it, you just get it much more deeply. Well, that's what's happening as the disciples praise, because they see that this is the moment. It's all fitting together in Jesus. And because we read in Romans chapter 5 that he is the way God shows his love to save us when we were still sinners. He is our safe place because now we have peace with God. And also he does this whenever we were powerless. And on the cross, he is strong, but we can't save ourselves. These songs are sung, it's the Passover season. So as Jesus comes into Jerusalem, he was coming actually as the lamb who would be slain. His blood would bring rescue, just like that lamb did. But Jesus also fulfilled this psalm because he was the person who was the worship leader who sang it. In that psalm, in Psalm 118, we read that the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, talking about how the psalmist had been suffering and rejected, but God had rescued them and become the cornerstone. But Jesus, in the very next chapter in Luke's gospel, describes what's going to happen to him in that way, that he's going to be rejected, but he will become the cornerstone. In fact, in Luke chapter 19, you'll remember it wasn't all singing. It wasn't all joyful. Jesus was saddened at the rejection of Jerusalem. He was saddened, but he wasn't surprised. He knew that that rejection would actually be the very way that his salvation would come. As he was rejected on the cross, he would be saving people. Let me show you a picture and try and share with you visually a moment what it is I'm trying to say in one way. Let's see if you can see that. It's really that in this moment, Jesus, this is just some of the fulfillments that's going on. He fulfills the praise of Psalm 118 in its mood. He fulfills that procession to Jerusalem. The pattern of God's salvation, powerful, safe, and loving. He fulfills the Passover. He's the person of the psalm. There's multiple fulfillments. So what's happening is that the mood really matches the moment. That's what's happening here. Jesus is rejected, but he can rejoice. In Psalm 118, we read that this day, even this day of rejection, is the one the Lord has made. We can be glad and rejoice in it. And even in these dark days that we're traveling through, in these strange times when death is closer at hand. When fears rise, we can praise God beyond our circumstances. It wouldn't take too much for you guys to realize I'm a bit of a Wren Collective fan, and they appear now and again. Well, they're going to appear now as well. I have a new album out at the moment. It's called I Choose to Worship, and the lead song on that talks about this, praising God in hard moments. I will praise you in the fire, in the storm, and in the flood. There is nothing that could ever stay my song. In the valley, you are worthy. You are good when life is not. You will always and ever be my song. When our song is not how things are with us, but our song is God and what he has done for us in Jesus, nobody can take that away. It's unchanging. It's safe and strong. No one can ever steal our song. Psalm 118 shows us that on Palm Sunday, the mood matched the moment. This psalm is a praise for what God has done back here in the past. And in Luke chapter 19, Jesus has just told a parable for people who think the kingdom is going to arrive right here and now. And Jesus is saying, no, you're going to have to wait for it. So that salvation is going to come in the future. But the emphasis on Palm Sunday is that God's rescue is here and now. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2 says, I tell you now, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. These are the days in which God welcomes us to himself when we trust in Jesus, when we have opportunity to do that. Now is the time for us to let others know that. There's an urgency here to share the gospel with others, and particularly maybe in these days when people are asking questions. Now is the time to speak up, to sing out, not to shout others down, not to prove a point, but to graciously present Jesus and the gospel of grace. I was in a prayer meeting during the week with friends in Spain, and their mood was quite different to the mood we're describing. They were talking about friends in ICU, friends around them who were dying. And that's the reality in Spain at the moment. And in Madrid, near Madrid, we have a friend who is working in a church there, and his house is in the middle of all the other houses. And each evening over there, they applaud the frontline workers at 8 o'clock. And he decided he wanted to bring a prayer. He decided to really appoint himself the chaplain of the housing estate, if you like. And you know, Spain, where the rooftops are a bit more open. Well, he got his old sound system out and he put it up on the roof so that others could hear him. And he just shared for a few moments some of the hope and comfort that Jesus brings. And as he did that, he just prayed the Lord's Prayer as well. That's what it looked like for him in this moment in Spain to speak up. I'd suggest that it might not look like the same for us. But at the moment, I think speaking up probably means making more of what we do online. If you're someone who does spend time on Facebook, it's worth thinking about how we can speak up and share at the moment. As people are in the safety of their own homes, looking at all sorts of different things, they have a chance to be persuaded towards Jesus in these moments. And you might think how you do that personally with your own Facebook page. And even over the next little while as a church, it's a good time for us to think about developing our own Facebook page and presence so that we can be connecting with people and speaking up. And so that's why we do hope to maybe stream in a few weeks' time. But even it may be just that if you see little resources, little clips, little videos that would connect with some people's questions, we could share those. We could build up resources, or maybe even in the future, make some of our own that share some of the hope that Jesus brings. Lots of people have been praying. Not just in the coronavirus, but there have been groups of people, movements, praying before this for revival and for renewal. A few years ago, I was praying with others about a lot of the apathy there is about Jesus these days. And we find ourselves praying that, God, whatever it would take to change this indifference, whatever it would take to shake up this apathy, to awaken people to you, would you do it? And I can remember praying that. And I do wonder if God at the moment is shaking us all up. Not just us, not just our part of the world, but the whole world, to recognize that there's more than this and that we need him. Now is the day of favor. Now is the day of salvation. But the reality is, we always live between Jesus' ascension and his coming. The day of opportunity is always this moment. So that's be speaking up as each of us can and as each of us are placed to. And let's do it that together. Don't feel guilty to laugh these days. It's okay to laugh. You're not saying life is easy by laughing. Maybe you can't always do it. You need to cry sometimes as well. But by laughing, sometimes maybe it's just a small act of defiance in the midst of the world closing in. As a Christian, know that you've got solid grounds to praise God today. In Psalm 118, verse 15, we read that shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. In other words, God's victory has come right into their home and changed the atmosphere. I wonder how that might happen in our homes in these days. What's the background music in our house? What's Alexa been asked to play? Or what are you listening to? I wonder, could we today take that opportunity just to flood our homes even today and in this moment with praise? To flood the WhatsApp group maybe with your favorite praise song so that others can listen to it. Because this is the day that the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. Let's pray. Lord, we want to rejoice in what you have done for us. Would you help us just to praise you today? To recognize what you have done, to recognize that now is the time of your rescue because of the good news of Jesus, to thank you that we have always got a song to sing in him. Lord, help us to sing it, we pray. Amen. Paul and Izzy, can I hand over to you guys to help us do just that?